tower, shelter over me. You're beautiful and mighty, you're everlasting King. 'Cause you are my strong tower, your fortress when I'm weak. Your name is true and holy, and your face is all I see. Is your face is all I see. In the middle of the darkness, midst of all my fears, you're my refuge and my hope. When the storm of life is raging, and the thunder's all I hear, you speak softly to my soul. Go running to your mountain, where your mercy sets me free. You are my strong tower, shelter over me. You're beautiful and mighty, the everlasting King. You are my strong tower, your fortress when I'm weak. Your name is true and holy, and your face is all I see. Your face is all I see. You are my strong tower, shelter over me. Beautiful and mighty, everlasting King. You are my strong tower, fortress when I'm weak. Your name is true and holy, and your face is all I see. Yes, your face is all I see.
Loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 11 this morning. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. How many of you remember the days? Let me see if I don't even have it with me. Wow. How many of you remember the days before the iPhone? When if you wanted to tell, guys, if you wanted to tell a girl that you had the hots for, you either had to call her on the phone, you had to get a buddy to do it, you had to go see her, or you had to write her a letter. How many of you guys remember that? I remember that. I remember that well. I remember trying to write a letter to a girl that I just wanted her to know that I kind of had the hots for. And this was probably second grade, and I'm not writing real well anyhow. And in the second grade, there were no girls that had thought I was cute or anything at all anyway. But I thought, you know, I'm going to go for this. And Scott, I'm not going to tell you your name. It was Tina. I'm just going to leave it at that, and because second grade, you know, you just don't know, right? And so I'm thinking, I'm going to write her this letter, and I'm going to see if she'll be my girlfriend. So, you got it. So I did. I'm like, this is my second grade letter, and we're out on the big playground, and I'm trying to find her. I want to give her this note that I've written, this letter, because I poured my heart in it. It had four words on it. Poured my heart out in it. I thought, I'm going to give it to her. On the merry-go-round, and do you remember that big oak tree down at the back of the... So finally, by the fence, away from all the teachers, the big oak tree, she was down there, and I made my way down there, and she took it, and I ran. Whew. Just as fast as I could away, because I really wasn't prepared for what she was going to say. And so I didn't want to stand there while she read that note that I had given her. And so with my heart about to pop out of my chest because I was so embarrassed, I thought, I've just got to get out of here. And then about that time, teachers started calling us to go in. So we all started lining up to get in. We were everybody running from the back, and I'm running. It was really not strategic that I worked it out that way, but it did end up that way where about that same time she got it, we were able to get in line to go in. So I'm thinking, whew, I don't have to worry about it now. She's going to be at the back of the line. I'm at the front of the line. She's not going to say anything to me. But the problem was she snuck up behind me. And I didn't know what to say. I'm kind of just, oh my goodness, you know, I'm freckled face, I'm blondish red hair at this time, and you know, I'm probably about that tall, because I'm, you know, I'm still about that tall, not far from that. But anyway, I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's got to be a better way to be able to communicate. I mean, there has to be. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be something better than writing this letter to ask a girl, do you like me? Yeah. So that was really the response. She did like me, but she didn't want to be my girlfriend. So anyway, we can continue, you know, there's these points where it's cute, right? We look back and it's fun. We look back with a lot of good memories. We remember these things, and some of the silly things that we do as children, they're not really that silly at all. Even when you grow up, you realize there's something special about a letter, isn't there? So today, I'm going to be honest with you. I write letters occasionally, because I feel like I can say something in a letter that I can't say in other ways. I feel like I can pour my heart out in a letter that will really come off and you understand where my heart is. And so I do this occasionally. I write letters, and occasionally I write letters to God. It's a pretty picture if you think about it for a moment. You know, we pray and we communicate and we talk to God all the time, right? We do. But you think about it. When you really want to get serious with God, there's nothing like taking out this prayer journal and writing down exactly what's on your heart. And then you want to remember, you want to go back and you look, and I've got several different prayer journals where I've written letters to God, where I poured my heart out to God, and I've looked back. Occasionally I'll do that and I'll see, wow, God has answered that. Wow, God is so good. Wow, God is wonderful, because He heard my cry when I wrote this letter to Him and He responded to me. Well, this morning what we're going to look at is found in John chapter 11 verses 1 through 5, and it's a story. It's really, if you think about it, when we look at it, you're going to see that it's a love story. Unlike any that you can really imagine. It's not about a boy and a girl falling in love and him writing sweet nothings in her ear. It's nothing like that at all. It's about a letter being written to the Lord Jesus. And it's really pretty simplistic. There are really a couple of things that I want to share with you concerning this letter this morning, a letter to God. So that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. John chapter 11, verses 1 and following. Now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary, his sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil, and then he wiped his feet with her hair. She wiped her feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent a message to him. Listen to this message. Lord, the one you love is sick. That's it. Lord, the one you love is sick. Verse 4 says this. When Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Will you pray with me? Blessed Father in heaven, today in the magnificent name of Jesus, thank you that you show us through your word. Thank you for showing us through acts of love that you love us. Lord, you don't even let us forget that you love us. We seek you with all of our heart. You show us. Lord, and you're not slack in your patience. You're not slack in forgiveness. You're not slack in any area that deals with your character. And Father, you're definitely not slack in your love. Your love is eternal. And we praise you for that. Father, show us through your word today what love is really all about. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this story and we begin to think about it, it's really a very, very good story. Here's what's going on. Jesus, it's about a week before he ends up going to the cross. So he's in these early stages. He's kind of milling around Jerusalem. He's doing some things. He's talking to the disciples. Bethany, he's already been there once, and as he'd been in Bethany, they actually ran him out. They're looking for him. They want to put his head on a platter. They're trying to get to him so that they can get him on the cross, so that they can get him in front of this group of people who are going to judge Jesus in order that he might go to the cross, where that he might die for you and for me. And so here he is, this word, and he gets this word. It's coming from a family that he's loved, that he's known for a long time. This family has a very special place in Jesus' heart. So here they are. You can hear this. This man, Lazarus, is sick. Bethany is the village. Mary and Martha's sister. And Mary was the one. You see the story. You can get this picture. Luke chapter 7, it gives you the picture. If you want to go, you just write that down somewhere. Luke chapter 7 talks about Mary and Martha and Mary being at Jesus' feet. She's weeping on him. She's pouring perfume on his feet. She's kissing his feet, and she's drying the tears up, and she's anointing his feet with this fragrant oil. So Luke chapter 7, and then again, John chapter 12. You can write that down. You can go look. But here it is, and it's stated that this is that same person. So you begin to get this picture. You understand that Jesus has spent time with this family before. He holds them dear to his heart. He really, really thinks highly of this family. So here it is. I want you to get this just quickly. When you write a letter, how long generally is the letter that you write? You know, if you've got something that you want to say, when Dad was in prison and he and I would correspond back and forth, he would write about a 2-page letter. And what he would do is he would be telling me everything that's going on. He'd kind of start with that, and then he would begin to ask in the letter, how are the children? How is the family? How is everyone else? You know, we would talk about a lot of different things, from motorcycles and trucks to family and the children. He always wanted to know about those things. And I've got those letters at home in the drawer right beside my bed, because those letters are very special to me. I love that I can look in this drawer and I can take these few letters out and I can begin to read these letters, and I get a sense that, you know, Dad's really not gone too far. He's still around, and I read this and it reminds me that Dad loves me. So I read these occasionally, and I see that. So if you're writing a letter, and then I write him one back, and I answer all of his questions, you know, I kind of tell him what's going on first, and then we talk about motorcycles, and we talk about trucks. That's what we do. And then I tell him that the family is doing great. I let him know that the kids are growing and that they all send hugs and kisses to him. And so, you know, this interaction back and forth, but the letters that we write is to find out information one from another. We want to know what's going on in one another's lives, right? That's the purpose. You know, Dad didn't have an iPhone. He couldn't just pick up the phone and call me anytime he wanted to, so he wrote me a letter. There's something special about these letters. They're always generally pretty in-depth. They're always generally a couple of pages long. But notice in the scripture right here what's taking place when you get here and you see it in verse 3. It says this: Lord, the one you love is sick. You want to talk about brevity? That's a short letter. But you've got to understand the situation and the context, because according to the scripture, they already have a love for one another. You know, this family was close, and so it didn't really have to say a whole lot except for Jesus to understand that Lazarus, the one he loved, was sick. So he gets it. And you would think immediately that Jesus would take off to Bethany. You understand the context of the story. You've got to remember he's already been run out once, and it really wasn't good for him to come back. You'll read that on in the rest of the text if you want to take that later and you want to look at it. You'll see that. The disciples tried to talk him out of it. Like, you really don't want to do this. You know, they've already run you out once. They're looking to put you on the butcher block. They're looking to capture you. They're waiting. So he milled around for a little while. Now, also, where this runner was, where the postman was, where he received this letter, these few words, Lord, the one you love is sick, and he received it is literally about 20 miles distance. Now, in this day, generally, about this 20-mile trek was about a day's journey. If you can see that for just a moment, you know, they didn't have a motorcycle or a Mercedes-Benz to jump in and speed off down the road. They literally depended on runners in order to get this word from one person to another. But isn't it neat to be able to see that really you try and paint this picture in your mind, and you begin to understand that when the letter leaves Mary and Martha's hands, that they find Jesus. They knew right where he was. So there had been some correspondence there before. As probably when Jesus was leaving, he began to tell them where he was going and what was going to be going on. And so I love this letter. I love the brevity of it because they didn't need to say a whole lot. And so they didn't. And Jesus got it. And when he heard it, this was his response. Is the mail carrier is waiting. Well, what's your response? Are you going to follow me back, or are we going to journey together? And Jesus says this, that this sickness will not end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Wow. It's powerful, isn't it? You think about that. And then you begin to understand that Jesus had a plan all along. He understood exactly what was going on. We begin to see, and we try and break this down. We try and understand. So there's the brevity of the letter. There's the content of the letter. And it just says this, that the one you love is sick. But for God, that's enough, isn't it? He didn't need any more. So there are really a couple of things that I want to share with you. As you look at this whole text right here in verse 3, it says this, Lord, the one you love is sick. I want you to circle that word love right there in your Bible. If you've got a pen, if you've got a piece of paper, circle that word for love. And then I want you to look down in verse 5, and I want you to see this. Jesus responds in verse 4. It says, this will not end in death. And then verse 5, it says, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. Circle that word, loved. Because I want you to see something. There are a couple of things going on here in this text. Number one is we see there's a picture of worldly love that's going on. And that Martha and Mary really didn't understand love in the context that Jesus, that God in the flesh, understood love. It was different. And so when you see this right here in the Scripture, I want you to understand that this word, this worldly love in the Greek is phileo. It's exactly what it is. It's the love that husbands and wives have for one another. It's this boyfriend and girlfriend kind of love. It's worldly love. It's exactly what it is. When I'm writing my girlfriend a letter in second grade and I'm asking her if she'll be my girlfriend, or I'm asking her if she'll go out with me, and I say, or we close a letter out with I love you, I want you to understand in terms of God's love and our love for us, it's phileo. It's brotherly love. We really don't understand love in the light that King Jesus understands love. Do you understand that? It's different. It's not the same. I love Brad McDaniel very much. And I would say I love him with an everlasting love, but I can never love Brad McDaniel the way God loves Brad McDaniel. Never. Same thing is true with you. You can never love your spouse. You can never love your children. Even though we want to believe in our hearts and in our minds that we can, you and I can never love the way God loves us. It's humanly impossible. So we see this worldly love, this affection that we have one for another. You know, about four different words used for love in the Greek language, but this one, this phileo, this is that brotherly, this is that worldly love. And then this second thing, there's a godly love that's going on here. We see this in the context of the Scripture when we begin to break it down and understand what's going on, because it says, it's understood through the Scripture, Lord, the one you love is sick. The one you love is sick. But coming from humans who are writing a letter to God, they don't understand the love that God has for them. So they say the one you love is sick. But then down here in verse 5, is Jesus concludes this message that it'll not end in death, but for the glory of God, so that God, the Son of God, may be glorified through it. Now we know that before, according to the distance, this time frame of what's going on here, there's really about a four-day turnaround that we see in the Scripture here. Because when you get on down, you understand it's about a 20-mile journey. It takes him a day to get there. He gets there. He receives the message. Jesus does. He tells him that it's not going to end in death. He goes back. But before the runner even gets back to Bethany, Lazarus has to be dead already, according to the Scripture. Because Jesus waits about two more days, then he ends up making his journey to Bethany. And when he gets there, they run out to him. Oh, Jesus, oh, Lord, if you would have only showed up a little bit quicker, if you would have came immediately, then Jesus, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But you didn't come quick enough. And you can imagine the context of that situation there. And you and I understand. We know the rest of the story. We know that Jesus goes to him and he prays to the Father in heaven. And as he prays to the Father in heaven, he says, "Lazarus, come forth." You've heard the story that he had to call the name Lazarus, because if he would have just said, "Come forth from the grave," then there'd have been a whole lot of dead folks showing up. So Lazarus, he comes forth. He'd been dead 4 days at this point. You know what that means? It means that he was all the way dead. It means that there was probably an odor at this point even associated with it. And when he comes up and he sees, Jesus sees that he's getting up, well, he understood. Jesus, being God in the flesh, he knew that he was going to rise. He'd already told him he's only asleep. So now the Son of God, being God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, is being glorified because this man who had been dead for 4 days rises from the grave, and he comes forth out of the grave and out of the tomb, and Jesus says, "Unwrap him. Take his grave clothes off. This man that was dead is no longer dead." What we see here, as the Scripture confirms to us in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. And so here we are. This is agape, friends. This is that love that is a love that can only be described from God Himself. It can only be explained or experienced from God Himself, because you and I aren't God and we can't understand exactly what this love means. We can't really comprehend it. All you and I understand and know is that God loves us differently than we love Him. Differently. I'm just thankful that He has an infinite love for us. Amen? And we see this in the Scripture. And it's powerful. There's phileo, that Martha and Mary write this letter to Jesus. You love Him as a brother, but then the response is that Jesus loved him as God. Man, that's powerful. That Jesus loves as God. God has His very own kind of love. Isn't that neat? Isn't it great to know that kind of love that God has for you and for me? Brother, will you go get me a tissue? Thank you. He has that kind of love for you, and He has that kind of love for me. And so, listen, understand this as we kind of break those two down. We've looked at them. We understand that the kind of love that you love your brothers and sisters, your husbands and your wife, does not, will not, cannot compare to this agape kind of love that He has for His creation. So we know the Scripture, John 3:16. Powerful Scripture. Amen? Love this Scripture. It's one of the greatest, most well-known Scriptures in all of God's Word. You know, if you don't know this Scripture, when Tim Tebow he was playing college football, he'd have 3:16 wrote under his eyelid. So we've seen it. We understand it. Most of us have heard about it. You break it down for just a moment. I want you to turn to John 3:16 in your Bibles. I want to look at this for just a moment, because this is neat. Listen to the Scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world in this way that He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son." Thank you, brother. "That whoever believes in Him shall not, will not, cannot perish, but have everlasting life." And I get to looking at this, and I begin to think, now that's a powerful verse, and it's one that we've preached and we've taught and we've looked at over and over and over and over again. But I'm going to tell you, in my own little world, I mess up sometimes, right? Because I'm human. And I look at the Scripture and I try and break it down and I try and understand, and it's not this, it's not that I so love God that God sent His Son. It's that God so loved the world. What is the world? What is it? Think about it. It's a bad system. It's sinful people. When you break it down, when you look at it, it's It's one of these things where we see and we begin to understand as through the Scripture that God has an infinite love for His creation in a way that you and I cannot understand completely and fully simply because we are not God, but we understand it as well as we can from this love letter that God has written to us. So we're wanting to write a love letter to God. We want God to hear our hearts. We want God to know our plans and the thoughts that we have for ourselves. And generally, that's exactly what it is. Because in and of ourselves, friends, let's just be honest, we're pretty selfish, aren't we? When we're crying out to God, typically always it's something that we desire, something that we want, something that we hope for, something that we hold dear. But God, it was not that way for Him, because the Scripture says right here, for God so loved the world. God loves us. Do you understand the concept of God's loving you? God loves you. You. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you firsthand that I'm pretty messed up. I am. Bad. I even growl sometimes just to prove how bad I am. Sometimes I'm looking in the mirror and I work on my growl. Oh, you're a bad man. Thought that would laugh, make you laugh. So this morning, here's what happens. We're praying. This is good. You'll like this. You'll appreciate this. So we get up and we're praying. Brad, McDaniel, myself, Cameron, Austin. So we finished praying, and you know I'm a cut up, right? Because that's what I do. I cut up. So when we get up, Cameron's right here beside me, and I just go, ugh, right there. He backs up, and he says, ugh. Except I don't hit him, but that rascal kicks me right in the side of the head. This morning, rascal kicked me right in the side. I thought I was going to pass out. I was shocked. All right, I got to get back to the Word this morning. I just thought I'd share that. So here's what I've learned from this. I am no longer going to stand in the mirror and say, oh, you're a bad man. I've learned my lesson. Don't you ever kick me again. So anyway, we see this. And we try and understand the kind of love that God has for us. And I want you to see that. Because it doesn't say that Brad loves God so much that he sent his son for me, does it? It says that God loves Brad so much that he sent his son for me. And we see that, and it's a wonderful scripture. And then turn over to 1 John for a minute, chapter 4. Watch it up on the screen. I want you to see this. It says this, love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Guys, that's powerful. It's overwhelming. It's truly amazing when you get right down to it that God loves us. And it's not even that we loved Him. It's that He loved us. And because He loves us, we're able to understand just a little bit about the love He has for you. I'm able to understand a little bit the love that He has for me. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And then it goes on and says this, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What in the world is this propitiation? What is it? It has to do with the removal of divine wrath. That God saw a need for a Savior. And this propitiation is the eternal sacrifice, the once and for all sacrifice, that perfect, spotless lamb that He sent to Calvary's hill. That Jesus Christ, that God the Father sent God the Son to become the propitiation for your sin. That God the Father loved you, loved this world so much that he sent his son to receive the divine wrath that you deserved. That you deserve. Isn't that powerful? You, agape love. This, the way that God loves humanity. And then turn back to John chapter 3 for a moment. Turn back for me, guys. Flip back for me. I'll get there in a minute. Chapter 3. Look at it. Look at it. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish. It means that you've got a choice in this love. That you get to say, I choose to love God. You get to understand that God loved humanity, that he loved the world so much, his creation so much, but now the ball literally is in your court. Now you get an opportunity to love him back. It says this, that everyone who believes in him, you have faith in him. Pistis, that pistuo, to believe, as many times as I've shared it, it's to begin, and it's got to sink in for you, and you understand what receiving God, Jesus, as your personal Savior really means. That God loved the world in this way, that he loved it so much that he gave his one and only Son. Do you get that? One and only Son. He sacrificed, the propitiation. He accepted and took upon himself the divine wrath of God. So when Mary and Martha were writing this letter, they didn't need for it to be real long. They needed to get to the point. Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was one of Jesus' bros. He was one of his brothers. He loved him. He had a relationship with him. We see that through the scripture, but it was for the glory of the Son that he didn't run right then with the messenger. It was so that Martha and Mary would understand that God doesn't love them with a worldly kind of love, with this phileo kind of love. It's for them to begin to understand that God loves them with this agape kind of love. And we begin to wrap this thing up. Let me try and break this down for you just a little bit more. This last thing you see there on the sermon outline is this. You begin to see and you begin to understand. It does not anywhere right there say, Brad so loved God. It says that God loved the world. So you begin to see that. You're focusing in on the kind of love that he has for us. And you can clearly see that it's all about God. Can't you? It's God loving you despite your mess ups. It's God loving you despite your mistakes. It's God loving you despite your depression, or despite your financial situation, or despite your marriage being messed up and on the rocks. It's God loving you despite all of those things. Why? Because God loves us with an infinite, agape, godly, divine, heavenly kind of love that can be seen most clearly at the cross. So we're beginning to wrap this up, and I'll tell you, this is what happened to me this week. This is just a wrap up, okay? That's what this is. So here I am. This has been one of those weeks where occasionally there's really a spiritual warfare that goes on in the life of a believer, right? You have those occasionally. You just don't know what to do. You're reading and you're studying the Word, but there's this weight upon your chest. There's this heaviness. There's this burden. You can't shake it. And I want to tell you that it's the devil. That's what the devil does. He tries and calls you to think somehow that God's not going to be able to work this out for you. So this week, it's been kind of tough from Thursday on. It was just, I don't know. I mean, I had a funeral to preach. So Thursday night, I went to the visitation of Miss Imogene and spent a little bit of time with the family and talked with them. And then Friday I got up and I preached the funeral, had an opportunity to just to share the love of God with the family that needed to hear about the love of God. And so God has blessed me to do these things, but the whole time I'm telling you, and I'm praying, I'm not living in sin, but there was this spiritual warfare that was waging for some reason or another. So this morning we come in, and Brad and I are in here first, and then Cameron and Austin, they come in and they join us, but we're beginning to pray, and I shared something amazing that happened this morning, because I always come in and I make sure that the heat's on about 68 and it gets turned up to 72 or it gets turned down to air. Anyway, so I come in and I always pray over the building. One Sunday after another. Every single Sunday is what I do. Is I wake up, I get ready, I spend time with God in the shower, and I talk with Him, and then I make my way to church and I get everything unlocked, all the lights on, and I just walk around this building every week and I pray. So I'm asking God this morning, God, there's this burden. I don't understand what it is. I don't know what's going on. But I can't seem to shake it. And I just need to give it to you. And I want you to take it. And I'm asking God, Dad. And I'm asking God, Dad. And then I begin, get ready to leave this building because everything is said. And I'm finished praying with God in here this morning. And I walk out. And I'm just going to tell you, God is amazing in how He responds. Sometimes it's immediate. Today it was immediate. So I walk out. And a young man, I don't know, 19, 20 years old. I don't know how old he was. Not going to tell you his name. I just met, first time I ever met the man. But he asked me, he says, "Are you the pastor here?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm the pastor here." This morning, this is what happened today. So he and I were sitting talking. He's like, "I'm a Christ follower." That's his exact words, Brad. I didn't even tell you that, but he says, "I'm a Christ follower." And then we begin to talk, and I'm like, "Man, I'm so glad that you're a Christ follower. I'm so thankful that you love God." And he and I begin to understand, talk to one another, and he says something that really just mesmerizes me. He's like, "You know, I don't understand all of this denominational stuff, all the differences that's going on." He says, "It's really easy. We just trust Jesus." Exact words. "We just trust Jesus." So I'm going back and I'm remembering that I have a burden. That it's heavy, it's weighed on me since Wednesday or Thursday, and I'm praying and I'm crying out to God. And this morning I do the same thing and I say, "Lord, I just give it to you. I need you to take this burden." And I walk out. This is how God loves us. You know, we want to write a love letter to Him, but He's telling us over and over and over again, and He's showing us one time after another how much He loves us. And I walk out and He shows me. I understand. It's easy. We just trust Jesus. Hits me immediately. Wow. God loves me. Miss Phyllis, God loves me. Right? It's amazing to see that. And then this morning, I want to tell you another amazing thing. Sweet little girl thought highly enough of her preacher that she wanted to give him a Valentine's card. But this is what it says. Let me just read this. This is a Valentine. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 is what's written on it. It says, "Let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth." And then at the bottom, it says, "From God." Tell me God doesn't work the details out. Tell me God does not give us what we need when we need it so that we understand that He loves us. Today, He showed me two different times. I know God loves me. I told Him when I was praying with Him this morning, "Lord, I've not lost my faith. Lord, I believe." I mean, I told Him those things, but there's a burden and I don't know what it is and I need you to take it. And I leave and He talks to me through a young man. And then this morning He talks to me through a young lady because God wanted me to know that God, that He loves me. Isn't that awesome? Friends, I'm praying that God gives you that today. You're going to write this love letter to God, right? That's what we want to do. We want to pour our heart out. We want Him to know our hurts. We want Him to know our brokenness. We want Him to know our dependence. We want Him to know all of these things. And then God sent me this morning to let you know that He loves you. From God, listen to me, He loves you right where you are. So, preacher, I'm here. What do I need to do? You're asking. How can I experience maybe a little bit of what you did? How can I hear God speak to me? First of all, I want you to know this. You got to be listening. But you've also got to confess that you're messed up. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you missed the mark, that there's nothing perfect, there's nothing good in you, that in and of yourself you're inadequate. You've got to confess that to the Father. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. According to Scripture, then you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead that you might be saved. Scripture says, for God loved the world in this way, that He gave His one and only Son, that everyone or whosoever or anyone who believes in Him will not perish. This word perish is packed with power. I'm not talking about death. It's talking about the transitioning from this life into an eternal hell. That's what that word for perish means. You don't have to worry about, through Jesus, you never have to worry about again dying and going to hell. Because God loves you so much that whoever believes in Him will not perish. You're not going to move from this life into an eternal hell. Why? Because you believe on the name of the Son of God for eternal life. So maybe you're here this morning and you just don't know. Maybe you've never experienced this kind of love. Maybe you haven't understood the infinite love that God has for you. So what do? You confess your sin. You cry out to God. You write in your heart right now, you write a love letter to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And you tell Him, Lord, I love You. Forgive me where I failed You. Be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I trust You today in Jesus' name. And I want to tell you, if you wrote that letter on your heart today and God heard it, if He heard it, if you were sincere, then today you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you are now a child of the God Most High. So maybe the rest of you are here and you understand that, yeah, no, I know Jesus. I love God, but there's just like you were carrying this morning, there's this burden. And you're crying out to God and you're not getting an answer. Maybe it is that you just need one more time where you just lay those burdens down. And maybe it is this morning that as you leave or while you're here, that God speaks to your heart and He says, just trust Jesus. Just trust Jesus. Will you do that today? Pray with me. Father in heaven, today, in the matchless name of Jesus, we come before Your throne. We praise Your holy name. We thank You for loving us despite ourselves. Father, thank You for showing us through Your Word just these five little verses that are packed with power as we begin to understand, you know, coming to this time of year that we celebrate Valentine's, the one we love. But Lord, thank You for sending us a Valentine card, Valentine letter. Thank You for helping us to understand that You first loved us. Father, today I pray for life change. I pray that the broken would surrender, humble themselves today in Your presence. I pray that the lost would confess their sin and trust You as Lord and Savior. Father, during our invitation time today, will You have Your way with our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand this morning? You stand. You come. You come.